Well, on Breakfast with Vossie, 1170 SEN, this is, well, how do I put it? It's a privilege and an honour, but it's an interview to be done with great appreciation that we go into the family time of the Burrow family. We've been telling you about the plight. You're all aware of the situation with Rob Burrow and the inspiration and the spirit that we're all drawing from this story since we first learned of it early in 2020. Lindsay Burrow, the wife of Rob, has been good enough to spare us some time now, mother of three, going through, well, we can't imagine what it's like to go through, but she's on the line right now in the north of England. Lindsay, welcome to the program, and we really do appreciate your time.
Oh, no, thank you very much for having me. It's a privilege to be on the show. Thank you.
Lindsay, first of all, how are you and how is Rob?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Rob's in good spirits. He's always got a smile on his face, and you know, the kids keep us busy. There's never a dull moment in the Burrow house. We're always kept on our toes with the kids, and you know, obviously on the back of the fundraising that Kevin Sinfield's just done, there's a real sort of heartwarming feel in the Burrow house at the minute.
The fact that you're doing an interview right now to someone on the other side of the world is part of how your life has been upturned. Can I ask from that aspect how you handle the attention?
Yeah, you know, it's completely out of my comfort zone. You know, both myself and Rob, we don't particularly like the limelight. And I think going back to when Rob was first diagnosed, if he'd have said to me, you know, Rob would have a documentary, Rob would have written a book, I would have, you know, probably just said, oh, you're having me on. I probably wouldn't have believed you. But I think what Rob wanted to do was use his platform to raise awareness for people that didn't have a voice. Ironically, obviously, Rob's lost his voice now. But yeah, his world has been turned upside down. And I think for me, you know, it's quite often out of my comfort zone doing interviews and things. But, you know, I just think to myself at the end of the day, seeing what Rob's going through and other sufferers as well with MND, you know, me doing an interview is nothing really in comparison. And if it helps raise awareness of this cruel disease, then I'm more than happy to, you know, to kind of break the comfort zone and do what I can to help raise awareness.
Can I ask you a little further then on that point? Can you appreciate just how big an impact you are having on people's lives? I mean, on this side of the world, I mean, to have a legend like Brad Fittler on the program just a couple of days ago, and he relays a story where the kids went out running onto the field saying, let's do it for Rob. I mean, they're inspired by his spirit. That must almost be overwhelming.
It is. It's quite surreal as well, because both myself and Rob were just from working class families, working class backgrounds. So to suddenly have all this attention, it is quite surreal and overwhelming at times. And, you know, I think for me, I always think, oh, you know, am I saying the right thing? Or, you know, how do we come across? But I think, you know, we just wear our heart on the sleeve, and it's, you know, we really, you know, have done this to try and help other people that, you know, are perhaps not as fortunate as us in many ways. You know, we've done this for the postman, or, you know, the bricklayer, or, you know, somebody that doesn't have that support. And, you know, the rugby league community, I have to say, have just been absolutely phenomenal. The support that we've had, you know, I think that's the reason why we have a smile on his face and why we are so positive, and because they just give us so much, you know, to live for and so much to be hopeful for.
I was wary about how invasive I could be in this interview in preparing for it, Lindsay, but I must say, I love reading real life stories, and Too Many Reasons to Live, Rob's autobiography. The first chapter absolutely stops you in your tracks and you have tears rolling down your cheeks. I do have to ask you about a particular date, December 12, 2019.
Yeah.
How did you, I mean, you reflect on that moment? No one should have to go through that, obviously.
Yeah, it was, you know, it has to be the worst day of my life. And I think going into that consultation with the consultant, I don't think either of us were prepared. I mean, we had read around, you know, that this might be, and I'd sort of questioned, I actually asked the question when Rob went to have some nerve conduction studies done, could this be motor neuron disease? And the consultant at the time had said, why are you asking us that? It's a really rare condition. It's very, very unlikely. So we were quite optimistic, and I don't think any of us were quite prepared really for going into that room and to be told that, you know, from that moment on, really, just, you know, our world fell apart. And I think for the first 2 weeks, it was just, you know, I remember not sleeping properly at night. I couldn't eat. I was probably in a worse state than Rob. You know, Rob sort of tackled it head on and said, right, that's it. You know, I accept the sort of the diagnosis. And I think some of that might be that Rob didn't have the, I think as a physiotherapist, I'd seen patients firsthand with motor neuron disease, you know, quite late on in the disease process. And so I think I knew what we were in for, whereas Rob was just a tower of strength. You know, he was the one that said, you know, Lindsay, pull yourself together. We need to be strong. And I think it was Rob's mentality and his positivity that, you know, sort of got us through those first couple of weeks. And obviously telling the kids was a really tough time. And I wouldn't wish it on, you know, on anybody to be told that news. And it is just such a cruel, devastating disease.
Yeah, there's a line in that, and in the first chapter, when the diagnosis is actually handed down, and Rob admits to a lot of it being a blur once you get the actual line that you have motor neurone disease. But the line that just made me cry straight away was, "Thank God it's not you or the kids. That's your husband. That's the father."
Yeah.
Wow.
And that is just Rob for you. You know, that was genuinely, hand on heart, that was the first thing that he said. Rob wasn't bothered about himself. You know, he was, thank goodness it's me and it's not you or the kids. And you know, he was more worried about me and actually telling his dad at the time. Jeff Burrow, Rob's dad, had some heart problems. He'd had, you know, a mild heart attack. And Rob, you know, his concern was, how am I going to tell my dad? This will kill my dad. And I think, you know, in hindsight now, looking back, it's given Jeff a purpose, and it's given, you know, Jeff's very much, you know, been very actively involved in all the campaigning and things that's been going on recently, and it's almost kind of given Jeff a purpose. But Rob was really worried about, you know, telling his parents, and obviously they knew we'd gone for the investigations. And I think, you know, Rob wasn't thinking about himself. There was never any self-pity. There was never, why me? Why has this happened? He was very much, you know, thinking about other people and how that was, you know, the news was going to affect them.
Lindsay Burrow, my special guest. I draw on you now as a parent. And as I say, the whole story has been so moving and now inspiring so many. But advice to other parents, to people to handle this, how to handle this with their kids. At the time of the diagnosis, what, Macy was 8, Maya's 4, little Jackson's 1. How do you get through that? How do you explain this to children?
It's really difficult, isn't it? And it's a situation that, you know, we'd never been in, never had experienced anything like it before. And I was asking advice from, you know, the clinical nurse specialist, saying, how do I, you know, approach this? I was asking the school, can somebody, you know, because we couldn't tell the kids straight away. We had to, you know, sort of process that information first. And the difficulty thing was, we didn't have the answers. And I knew we were going to be faced with questions from the children, you know, maybe not at that initial point, but I knew there would be questions later on. And you know, the doctors and medical people didn't have the information. And I think that was, you know, that was most sort of the frustrating part, was that we didn't have the answers. So I don't think I was prepared initially. And we just sort of took the approach from speaking to, you know, the healthcare professionals, that, you know, be honest with them, tell them as much as they need to know. And actually, when we came round to telling the children, it was just before Christmas, had just broken up from school. And it was at the time our youngest daughter, Maya, had said, you know, what are you telling us that for? That's boring. And I'll always remember those words. And it just made light heart of the situation. And it was quite, yeah, you know, it made Rob laugh. And it just sort of broke the ice, you know, at that point in time. And then it was afterwards, the eldest daughter, Macy, did start asking questions about, you know, dying and asking questions about Rob. And but at the time, it sort of helped. I think it helped just Maya being so, you know, blasé about it, really, and just kind of, you know, as if like, well, what, you know, why? That's kind of boring. I'll carry on playing now. Thank you.
No, incredible. The way kids handle things like that's amazing. That you break this news. Oh, that's boring. Yeah. Go on playing.
Yeah,
amazing.
Carry on playing. Yeah,
that's quite incredible. There is the saying that not all superheroes wear capes. I would suggest that your husband fits that category. I would certainly suggest Kevin Sinfield. That is just absolutely mind blowing what Kevin has done for the cause and to raise an incredible amount of money for Made in Your Own disease research.
Absolutely. I think it's superhuman, isn't he? And just it's just phenomenal, the amount of, you know, not just the money that's been raised, but the awareness through, you know, what Kev's done, and just seeing the support for Kev over the, you know, throughout his last challenge. It was quite different because the last challenge he did was during COVID, so it was very much sort of kept under wraps and people couldn't go out and support him, whereas this time he, you know, people were lying in the streets, there was brass bands, he had a, you know, a brilliant reception at Headingley, and, you know, well deserved as well. We're just, you know, incredibly proud of Kev for everything he's done, and I just think it shows the friendship between Rob and Kev. And Kev's been there from day one, from when Rob was first diagnosed. You know, he's played alongside him throughout the whole of his career, was his captain for 15 years, and I think it's just, you know, testament to Kev what, you know, is actually, you know, for what he's done for Rob, and not just for Rob but for the whole MND community as well.
Lindsay Burrow, my special guest, I'll just a couple more to finish. Has what you're going through, has it redefined for you what courage is, what bravery is, what love is, what real love is?
Yeah, it has. I think it puts things into perspective, you know, things that you perhaps worry about before and are really insignificant now. I think, you know, it's important that if you don't have your health, then, you know, all those other things, you know, having nice cars or, you know, the material things that don't matter anymore. And it's about, for us now, it's making those times memories as a family, and just appreciating the small things in life, you know, just going to the park, or I don't know, going out for tea or going to the swimming baths. You know, it's those things in life that matter, and just enjoying that time as a family unit and spending that time together and you know, making the most of what time we've got together.
Now, I don't know whether he's listening, and if we send you a copy of the interview, we might have to delete this, but have you got Rob something for Christmas then? What have the kids got Daddy for Christmas?
I haven't seen him. I'm really late this year. I think there's been so much, I know, so much going on this year, but yeah, I am a little bit behind with my Christmas shopping this year, but yeah, I'm sure we'll come up and think of something. I might leave that to the kids and see what they come up with.
Beautiful.
I don't know whether that's a good idea or a bad idea.
I said at the time that we all learned about the diagnosis that Rob Burrow was a little man, but he's proving himself now a giant. And he has done that. And I do hope Rob appreciates and knows just what impact he's having, how inspiring he is to so many people. And it's outside the rugby league family. And as we tell this story more today, Lindsay, I've taken enough of the family time tonight. I really appreciate you coming on the program. And I wish you and Rob and Macy and Mayor and Jackson and all the family all the very best.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's been great. Thank you.